I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, two places. I had John 10, chapter 10 ready, but I felt led to go and look also into Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. So turn there if you will. I'm going to begin reading right there in verse 1. So I don't know how able you are, Josh, to jump with me, but I'm going to start right there, verse 1 in Genesis chapter 15. I'm talking tonight about a purpose in your life. This past Sunday, I talked about God's plan or game plan that God has. Talked about game plan related to the Super Bowl, but how God has a game plan for our life, to use our life for His glory. Tonight, I want to delve into purpose. I want to kind of unpack that just for the next couple of minutes, couple of moments. I planned on preaching on the immune system, the spiritual immune system that we have, but really I believe that God is actually wanting me to make that something on our Sunday morning, and not because of the coronavirus and all that's going on with that, and we pray for many that are afflicted by that. We're praying that there'll be an answer and an antidote. Come on, somebody, amen. But with that kind of going on in our world, I think it's just in my spirit, what I thought would be a Wednesday night series is something actually that I'm going to start on this coming Sunday morning, talking about the spiritual immune system that we have. I mean, we have to be prepared to fight against an enemy, amen, an adversary, like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And we have different weapons and offensive things that we can defend, submit ourselves to God, and see the enemy flee, but defend ourselves, of course, from the attack of the enemy. I know this might be cold and flu season. We have a lot of those things that go on this time of the year. But how many believe in what Psalm 91 says, that stuff will not come nigh your dwelling? Now, I know at times we're going to go through things, get sick, and deal with stuff. But I mean in a spiritual sense, how many know that we are surrounded, that we're protected? Come on, if you believe that, can you say amen tonight? I love the fact that when the man came out and saw the city surrounded, the prophet walked out and said, Lord, open his eyes. And his eyes were then open, and he saw that there were more for them than there were that are against them. And we have that tonight. So I'm going to be speaking on Sunday dealing with that. But tonight, let's get in and talk about purpose. Here in Genesis chapter 15, the Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 15, and this is the chapter where the Lord establishes a covenant with Abraham. Abram, not yet Abraham, but he soon will be. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. And then this is the first time we see this phrase spoken, or God mentioning or referencing himself as one that is a protective shield for us. In the book of Genesis, there's two ways that God talks about himself, more than two ways, but two very profound ways. One is our protector, and then later on, when he declares himself Jehovah Jireh, he speaks about him being our provider. Here is the first mention of our God being a protective shield. Look at somebody next to you and say, you're protected. Tell somebody, you're protected. Look back at that same person and say, God's got you. Tell somebody, God has got you. Now, this is what the word says. He is a shield for us. Bible goes on to say there in verse 2, let me read that. Abram, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Verse 1. Verse 2 says, but Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the heir in my house is Eleazar of Damascus. Now, Abram is just like you and I in the fact that we hear God's blessings, we read God's blessings, we've sang them tonight, I'll minister them through the word. We were declared them just a moment ago during our time of tithe and offering as Paul was speaking promises over us out of God's word. But even though we're hearing it and we're knowing it, we're absorbing it, but yet deep down we know there's some things in our life that are unanswered. Some issues in our life that need to be answered, and really in ourself and our own ability, it is impossible. Up to this point, Abram and Sarai had tried often to conceive a child, obviously. Their desire was to have a son and daughter and so forth, but they were barren and unable to have children. God's saying, hey, I'm going to do something amazing. I'm going to protect you, be your shield, and I'm going to be a God to you like no one has ever seen. And the first thing out of his mouth is, hey, you know, there's some things in my life that are not working. How are you going to help me? How are you going to assist me? Verse 3, then Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring indeed. The one born in my house is, you have given me no offspring indeed. One born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. He knew that his body was deficient. He knew that he and his wife loved one another, but yet together they were ineffective to bring forth this promise. I hate that it works this way, but it does, and God allows it, where that we get to a point of emptiness in ourselves, where that we're aware of our lack and lack of ability, but God allows us to hit bottom. Now, how do you know God loves you enough to allow you to get to a point where you're at bottom, or where you're at a point where all you're able to do is see the weakness that you have, but yet that's when he speaks over you and says, no, not what you think, not what you see as the only option, but yet where it seems impossible, that's where I'm going to birth out of you something that only I can provide. Come on, if you receive that tonight, can you say amen? I mean, the just shall live by their feelings? No. The just shall live by the facts that they see? Absolutely not. The just are going to have to, and God's going to require us, and the Lord loves us enough to allow us to hit bottom where that we're going to have to lean on him and not ourselves, and then live by faith. Come on, church, can I get an amen tonight? He loves us that much where we say, hey, you know, God, I hear your promises. I see your promises. I declare them. I believe them. But there's some things that aren't working, God. What are you? He's saying, I know you've got a purpose for me. Why would you tell me you're my shield and my protector? You've got me. And then leave me unable to have legacy and bring forth a blessing. All I have is an heir born in my home, but it's not of myself nor my wife Sarai. And God says, it's not going to come from any other area but from what now seems ineffective, but I will make what doesn't make sense, and I'll make sense out of it. Amen. Verse 5 says, then he brought him outside and said, look now forward, or look now toward heaven, and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted to him for righteousness. Now God's only said what? Hey, I mean, obviously he's had favor over his life. He told him to leave and go somewhere where God would show him, but didn't really give him the ultimate destination where he could figure out his own path to get there. He said, just follow, I'll guide, and then I'll tell you when you arrive. Faith. I'll protect you. You're ineffective, but yet not from any other place, but from you, what seems dead, I'll bring life. And then out of that, now, let me just cast some vision in front of you, Abram. Walk out and try if you're able, which he wasn't. Try if you're able to just in some way number the stars. And that is what your descendants will be. It was a way of God just saying, I'm going to blow your mind with what I am able to do, where you now know that you are fully unable and without capability, but I'm going to do something that only I am able to do because I am the God of the universe. I've chosen you. And the Bible says that all that was really required was for Abram to believe, and it was accounted to him, meaning it was something where once it all was worked down there at the bottom of the faith equation, Abram believed and God brought the blessing in his life. But a couple things I want you to see here. Then in verse 7, then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out from the people of Ur, from the Chaldeans, to a land you'll inherit. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? In verse 9, he said, so he said to him, bring me now out. And he was preparing a sacrifice. He said, bring out to me now a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Look at verse 10. Then he brought all these to him, and he did what they would do in that day. He was able, the ones that were large enough, he would sever the animals in two, right in two. Lay one side to one side and the other side. And the Bible says there, then he brought all of those in verse 10 to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other. But he didn't cut the birds, being small, but obviously they were sacrificed. And he's preparing him now, if you can, Josh, jump with me to verse 17. And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven in the presence of God, and a burning torch that passed between the pieces. On the same day, verse 18, the Lord made a covenant. Everybody say covenant. Covenant. Come on, can you see that? Verse 18, I don't know if you've got it there. And on the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham saying, I want you to read verse 18 with me. Can you read that with me? Come on, everybody. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram saying, to your descendants, I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river of the Euphrates. He's saying, hey, I'm doing something amazing. All those stars I told you to count, all the things that I said that I'm going to be able to do, ultimately there'll be a land that you'll inhabit, and that there'll be legacy and productivity that I'm going to provide, and I'm going to cause that to happen. And my presence, by my own ability and my name, his presence walked between the pieces. Now, let me explain this to you, that ultimately when a covenant was cut in that day, what it meant was if you went back on the covenant, or if you said something but then did not back it up with your action, then let what has happened to these animals, meaning split literally in two, then come upon me if I'm not able to live up to what we have made covenant over. I mean, it's a very bloody ordeal, a heavy promise. You don't enter into covenant lightly. But God did not ask Abram to enter into the covenant. He said by his own name, he's going to make good on what he's promising. And then he by himself, as the Bible says, the torch in the smoking oven went between the pieces that were laid out right and left. And he said, I will cut this covenant. But verse 11, bring that up if you would with me, or for me, excuse me. And when the vultures came down on the carcass, Abram drove them away. That's right there in the middle of chapter 15 where God's cutting covenant, God's establishing something special and amazing in the life of Abraham. Not yet Abraham, but yet Abram. But right in the middle, what we see is, and when the vultures, which is really symbolic of the enemy, coming down to try to torment, to carry away, to eat at the blessing, the Bible says that he had to be purpose-filled to drive away the vultures. Let me tell you tonight, if you truly believe that there is a God in heaven and that he has a plan for your life and that there's a purpose in your life, there's going to be often moments when God is doing something great, even though you might feel as if you're at the bottom and you're more keenly aware of your weakness than you are, maybe what God's about to cause in your life. And you're going to have to fend off and cause the vultures of the enemy, which will rob and try to devour your faith and your strength, and run them off of the blessing that God is going to bring in your life. If you tonight are not able to lift your hands and praise, the vultures are going to come and prey on you. If you're unwilling or unable to somehow fight off those birds that want to come and destroy, then can I tell you, there'll be moments in your life where you're not able to move forward in purpose like God has spoken over your life. Bible said right in the middle of that, there were vultures that wanted to fly in and to compromise what God was doing. But I'm going to tell you tonight, listen, to really have purpose, you've got to have faith that pursues God. And no matter what the enemy's trying to send your way, you and I have to fight the good fight of faith and believe that what God said will be accomplished for his glory. Come on, somebody, give God praise if you receive that tonight. Look at somebody next to you and say, you got to fight off the birds. Tell somebody, you got to. Now, this afternoon, I did that very thing. No, what are you talking about? This afternoon, we were talking and... this time of the year, for whatever reason, I guess because the little pond we have in the back, there's some Canadian geese that come and just kind of hang out in the parking lot. I don't know if there used to be a bigger pond at one day or whatever it is, but for whatever reason, a stopover place is our parking lot. And if you know anything about Canadian geese, let me know, they have a lot of things they leave all over the parking lot wherever they land. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, I can't believe that so much comes out of these geese, right? So Pastor Mark, because they tend to kind of end up over in that area in our staff meeting today, said, hey, if you see them, run them off. If you see them, do whatever you can do to kind of shoo them away. So I came up this afternoon, later in the afternoon, about 4 o'clock, heading up into Snellville, then coming back down to the office, preparing for tonight. And when I came out to my car, I saw there's about 7 or 8 of them, for whatever reason, that have clustered on the property. And so I remember what Mark had said, and so I actually kind of walked towards them, and they kind of walked away. And then I thought, you know what, this is not going to work. I got in my car, and I wasn't, don't get worried, don't call PETA, don't do anything like that. But I was just trying to shoo them away. Got in my car and kind of went towards them and honked and things like that, and they kind of ran, and their neck kind of furled up, but they kept moving till finally they took off and flew away. Do you know, by the time I came back from Snellville, they had landed again right there in the same area. Well, what did I do? I kind of went at them a little bit again and kind of got them to get up and leave. And I'm sure if I went out there tomorrow, when I go out there tomorrow, they'll be there again. But it's going to take being diligent. Now, sooner or later, you know, they're going to go and migrate to wherever they're migrating. But that's a great example of honestly what the enemy wants to do. He wants to distract. He wants to land on what God has for you and in some way kind of dirty it up and try to keep you at a point where you're maybe confused or frustrated by what you see. And you have to be diligent to continue to push and to push through the circumstance and cause the vultures to be somehow pushed away so that God can speak covenant in your life. Because what God says will happen, it will happen. No matter if the birds are circling, no matter what might be trying to land and devour, if God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. Come on. Really, honestly, the birds circling, the birds trying to somehow pull away is only an indication that God's up to something. Those vultures would have never flown in and would have never somehow tried to devour, and Abram not have to be active in his faith to fend them off if God wasn't up to doing something amazing. The Bible says right after he shooed away these vultures, that God put him into a deep sleep, and that's where he had the vision of the oven moving between the torch, between those pieces that were cut in two, and God saying, I'm establishing a covenant between you and I that you don't have to back up. I've got this myself, and I will establish a covenant with you. Your people inherit the land, and there'll be a legacy that outnumbers even the stars of the sky. Now, I want you to look into John 10:10. John 10:10 is a great example of where the enemy, the vulture, if you will, tries to rob, steal, and to kill. The Bible says the thief doesn't come to do what? But except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. To fly in as vultures and land on and destroy and try to confuse. Bible speaks there. I want to read there in verse 7. It says, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door. I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves or robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters in by me, they will be saved. And the Bible goes on to say, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief doesn't come except to steal, to kill, to destroy. But I've come that you may have it, and that you may have it more abundantly. I've talked about it. I've talked about it before, the things that we can look and see what the enemy is trying to destroy. He wants to steal and kill and leave annihilation, or in some way just being so worn out and weary that we're of no good. But he says, I want you to see this. I have given you not only life, but I like what the word says here. And I looked up in the Greek and it says, abundant or abundantly to provide life for you. The thief wants to kill, steal, destroy, but I've come that you may have life, and have that they may have it more. Everybody say abundantly. Super abundance. That word abundantly in the Greek is a parisos, and it means super abundance, overflow, more than enough, above ordinary. Now, I know that can almost feel so extravagant that it feels a little awkward. I mean, super abundance. Abundance would seemingly be enough, but it's not just abundance, it's super abundance. When you think of that, you can read it where the thief is wanting to rob and thieve away and steal and kill, not just abundance, but the super abundance that God wants to bring into your life. But Jesus says, I speak with the authority of heaven. I have come that you will not only just have living and life and the ability to do life, but not only that, that I have come to let you know that there is a super abundance, an overflow, a more than enough, above ordinary, that is for you. And you've got to believe it. Even when the buzzards are circling, even when things feel as if the bottom has dropped out, that's when God works his best work. Amen. When you're keenly aware that you're unable and God says, I'm more than able. Come on, somebody. I know you've had those moments in your life when you're not sure how it's all going to work, but God shows up and abundantly does something that only you can say, look what the Lord has done. Think about it. There's many examples in your and my word where it gets to a point of being worse than you would ever expect. And then out of that, God super abounds. Out of where it seems bleak and unable to be answered, there is a superabundance, an overflow, a more than enough above the ordinary. I wish it didn't always take that, but the Bible's very clear. It doesn't keep you and I in the dark. It's going to take those that are willing to walk by faith, not by sight. That really the just, the right, the righteous, the folks that want to love God are going to have those faith, hear this, opportunities. Not moments. But opportunities. Do you know, It's really an opportunity when you're aware of the weakness you have and then God does something that only he can do. It's an opportunity, what, for your faith to grow. Amen? The Bible talks about it, how that there was the fiery furnace, seven times hotter, but it required them not only being bound and it being turned up heat-wise and them being thrown in before what had them bound, one, should I say, even prior to that, the ones who held them to throw them in died because of the heat. The very bondages that they had burnt off of them once they were in that heat. And then there was another man in the fire with them, which was God. We know Jesus himself that was with them, and that's where he was made manifest. Not on the rim of that furnace when they're declaring their faith. If God is God, he'll save us. If he doesn't, it's his choice. We trust God, but we'll not bow our knee. God doesn't show up there. He hears what you're saying there, and it's accounted to you as faith, but there's going to be the moment when you're falling in or thrown in, and then that's when God not only takes you to a point of freedom, but him being there in the middle of it with you, but then having you coming out where you don't smell like fire, you don't feel like fire, and you come out with the authority of God. I wish it could be up there when you make the declaration, but there's got to be something in not only the declaration, but the experience to know that when you say God's for you, and then you find out that he is for you, amen, there is power in that testimony to be able to say, look what the Lord has done, amen. I wish I could preach to you tonight and say, God will get you close, but he won't make you go through it. But listen, you're going to have to go through at times Red Seas. I wish I could tell you that he'll get you close, but you'll not have to somehow wage the war or fight the battle. But Daniel was not just brought to the edge, but was thrown in to the lion's den. But God will deliver you and I out of all of our trouble, the word of God says, if we lean on him. But it's going to require you and I to be diligent to know there's purpose in our life, to fight off with prayer or through prayer the vultures that come to devour, to fight off with praise the birds of the air that not only circle but come to try to cause confusion right in the middle of a covenant moment that God is establishing between you and himself. Isn't it just like the enemy to try to come in at that moment? Try to somehow distract. Try to somehow have us looking other places. The Bible says the thief doesn't come to do anything except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I've come that you may have life and that you may have it in superabundance, overflow, more than enough, above the ordinary. You know, I've talked about it before, and I feel like I need to be reminded tonight myself, but the enemy, the thief, and he wants to steal something from you that is key and essential. And I've always believed, and I still do tonight, believe that one of the main things he's after is joy. Supernatural, spirit-filled joy that is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. There are 9 fruits of the Spirit. 3 that deal with our relationship with God, 3 that deal with our relationship with others, and then 3 deal with the relationship that we have spiritually to him. I want to read these, or should I say, how we conduct ourselves as believers. Here's what the word says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. It says, but for the fruit of the Spirit, hear this, this is what the Lord provides. These first 3 concern our attitude towards God. It's love, joy, and peace. Out of that, then, there's 3 that deal with the way we work with one another, the fruit of the Spirit, which is long-suffering and kindness and goodness. And then the last 3 deal with our spiritual maturity and our character and the way that we need to conduct ourselves as Christians, where it says that we should be faithful or faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But the enemy understands the importance of how that it's not where he's coming after your kindness or even your self-control. There's a point where he wants to steal away what's right between love and peace, and that's joy. The first of the 3, right in the middle of the first 3, that talks about our connection with God. We have love for God. We know God loves us. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his son for us. There's a peace that passes understanding. Those are very spiritual things, love from God, and to feel loved by God, that he's a good father and we're loved by him, amen. A supernatural peace that he can provide that guards our heart and mind. But joy in the middle of it is the energy and the spiritual adrenaline to walk boldly by faith. The enemy comes after that to steal that joy, knowing that if he can rob that joy or somehow as vultures fly in and create enough dysfunction or confusion, then you'll wobble in those areas. You'll stumble in those areas, and then it will work its way on down with the way you handle things with others, and then also with the way your own personal conduct works out. The enemy is not only conniving, but he's good at what he does, but yet we have authority and power through our God. But realize tonight that there is a process of him trying to steal your joy. Nehemiah 8:10 says the joy of the Lord is our strength. The strength that we have in the relationship with our God, that God loves us, that we have peace that is not given by the world, but yet given by our God, really is held together by the strength of the joy that God provides. Come on, if you believe that, can you say amen? Amen. You and I have to be ready to fend off, to fight off, to shoo away the vultures that want to come in and to steal the joy that God provides. If you believe that, can you say amen tonight? See, for you and I to get to the point of having that super abundance, that above the ordinary, the more than enough, the overflow, then protect your joy. Secondly, there is found in Habakkuk chapter 2 where it talks about and actually speaks that statement of the just shall live by faith, but it speaks of vision. I think the enemy wants to kill vision, to leave it where we're limited in what we're able to see. I've talked about it before, but one of my favorite illustrations is that of the rhinoceros. And not that they're in groups often, but if they get together in a group, then it's called a crash. Where you know if you get fish all together, it's called a school of fish, a flock of birds, you know, a herd of cattle or so forth, a pack of wolves. The gathering, the numbering of things coming together, it takes on a different type of term. Not just a wolf, but now a pack of wolves. When rhinoceros come together, which I'm sure isn't that often, and I don't know what means a gathering, but you get one, that's enough. Come on, amen. But a couple of them, they actually call that gathering a crash. I've talked about it before, but about rhinoceros, they're built, obviously, like dump trucks. I mean, they seem impervious. They almost seem something prehistoric in the way they look and the way they kind of carry themselves. Indestructible would be a good way to describe them. But yet they're very limited in their sight. They can only see about 21 feet in front of themselves. And after that point, things are at a blur or maybe even at a blank. But yet the fact that they're called a crash is not because, and I love the way the author, when I read it years ago, stated it. They're called a crash not because they're not able to see what's at 21 feet. It's because ultimately whatever is at 21 or 22 feet needs to get ready, because if they don't see it and they keep running forward, they're going to crash into it. And it's going to respond to the authority that's in them. So you and I have to realize tonight the enemy is out to rob us of, here's the deal. Joy is what he wants to kill, because joy is what holds up the arms, if you will, of peace in God and knowing that God loves us even when there's a sense of weakness in us. We can't let the enemy, the vultures, come in, land and prey on our joy, because there's strength in our joy. But as well, what the enemy wants to kill tonight is a sense of vision, because vision really is another way of saying it's faith. Faith to believe that whatever is at 22 feet is not greater than the God that's inside of me. Faith to know that what's around the corner, I'm not worried, because God's already got me and he'll bring me around the corner for his glory. Whatever's on the other side of the mountain, whatever's in the valley down the road, God has got it. If God be for me, who can be against me? Amen. That's faith. The enemy's out to steal joy, to kill joy, which is strength, to kill vision, which is what? Which is faith. And leave you and I at a point of being annihilated, at a point of feeling overwhelmed, more aware of the lack that we have. Like Abram said, well, God, you're my shield, but what about these deficits? And then the birds land right in the middle of that chapter trying to distract him, but yet he's diligent to push them away, and then God takes him to a point of showing him a vision, saying, I'm cutting covenant with you. You know, you have to find every little moment to lean in and know that God has truly been faithful, God has been good. I've got a praise report tonight that I think works well. Come on to the piano if you would, Gary. I forget who spoke to me about it just earlier about Victoria. Might have been Joni, I'm not sure. But tonight, probably just about 20 or so minutes ago, Connor and Gwenny, Pastor Gwenny, my mother-in-law, they got on a flight and they flew out. They're flying out right now to Colorado. Victoria's out in Colorado, been in Denver now almost over a year and a half, close to 2 years. She's been there working, And it's been something that we knew that God had opened the door for her, something that God had closed other doors. And it was an opportunity to get back into a field that she was really excited about, which was bridal. And she loves working in that area. She loves being a part of that big event and being there with people on some of their greatest days of preparation for the wedding that they'll have. She loves it. She really thrives. She's a great salesperson and brings some energy to what's going on. And she's been successful, and to God be the glory for it. And then when the Lord said, go to Denver, Colorado, we're like, we don't know nobody out in Colorado, right? But that was the door that was open. How many know you have to be faithful that God's going to stretch us, parents, but stretch us as individuals beyond our natural ability and our strength? What? So that he's cutting covenant and establishing something in us that's greater. And I take this blessing tonight, and I share it just because it's encouraging me, and I wanted to encourage you. We knew that she'd be out there. She worked hard. We've been out there and visited her. We've talked about that and so forth. And she's been able to be in town as we went through the tragic loss of my father-in-law, and Victoria was able to be here, and it's been great, and it's been good for all of us. But she had to go back. And I remember dropping her off at the airport there in northern Kentucky, and she flew back to Denver. But we knew. She was saying, you know what, I feel like the Lord's wanting me to come back. I want to get back into Atlanta, into the area. And she really didn't know if there'd be a bridal opportunity for her to actually work. But she just was going to put a resume out there and see what would happen. But she knew she wanted to be back by Easter. And so we just began to pray. And you know, in the middle of our praying, and in the process of praying, how many know what's going to happen? The vultures are going to fly down and try to confuse and frustrate and make you full of fear and worry, or have all the questions of just like Abraham. Well, how's this going to happen? How's this going to be? I mean, you got my back. You're my protector. You're my shield of faith. But hey, I don't have any kids, and me and Sarah aren't making any kids right now. So hey, we need some help. And that's a real question. God's not put off by that question. But if you stay there, then you're not going to get to the point of it being accounted to your faith to say, well, okay, I believe what you say more than what I feel or think or even what I know. Let what you say, God, be true, and everybody else a liar. Come on, can I get an amen? So through the process, we've been praying and waiting, and just like that, she put a resume out there, and then the Lord opened up a door. I got some new information. I told the staff here just this afternoon, and I'll finish with this, just briefly, but she got an opportunity, and all of a sudden, it just like that happened close to home, right there in Buford, there was an opportunity. And she put her name out there, and all of a sudden there's an opportunity. I can't say a whole lot because I'm on live right here streaming, so I can't say a whole lot. So, but long story short, it was an opportunity in Buford. And so we were excited. She went through the interview. They seemed to dig her, and everything's kind of going. And that's great. She gets through the third interview, and everything seems like it's really working. We're excited. There's a couple of misgivings, some things that, you know, she wish would be this or that. But, I mean, it's going to put it right in our backyard. We're very excited. Looks like God's doing something. Before she can really even get through that third interview and really be able to kind of get to the point of potentially seeing if she's one of the last couple of candidates and they're going to choose her, can I tell you, from last Wednesday to this Wednesday, there was all of a sudden another suitor that got her resume and said, hey, we're excited about you. Within 24 hours to 48 hours, she'd already been given an offer for something equal and better than where she is, that's much more kind of, I don't know how to say it, but more high end of what she wanted to do. And didn't know yet about the other that I was talking about in Buford. This, what I'm talking about now, is more down around Midtown. But it's all in the area that she would thoroughly love. Before you know it, where we didn't know where in the world or how in the world, just like that, almost overnight. Now you can, in the natural, just say, well, you know, just some things are happening. No, I'm not going to lean into that, because that's going to have me unable to fight off the vultures and to fight off things when dark nights come. Because if I lean on only the natural, then I'll not be able to really lean into the supernatural. You and I need to realize that, look, if God is directing, God is guiding, God makes the way where there is no way. Amen? So we're not going to lean to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him, and Him direct our path. So we saw it. Talked to her about it, we prayed about it, and just like that, they came back with an offer, and she's like, I feel like it's gonna be great. They want her back here by the 19th. Well, I couldn't even get from staff meeting today back into here, where the other place now has also asked her to be one of their employees. So my daughter is sitting within a week and a half or 2 weeks of saying, I feel like God is doing something. We all began to pray and trust But we're thinking, how, Lord, are you going to do this? How can we do this? Like Abraham, how are we going to be able to do this? And just like that, God not only brings one, but God brings two. And tonight, where I only thought there was one blessing to share, this other is probably something that she might not have been excited about, but it might even pay a little bit more money. I mean, that's not a bad thing. Amen. So I just know this. 2 or 3 months ago, talking to her, tears and wanting to be home, and man, there were a lot of vultures. But you just be faithful tonight to stay on your knees and pray and stay in God's word and lift your hands on Wednesday nights and, or Sunday mornings or whenever you're in your car riding to where you're going with worship playing. Keep your heart and your mind right. And the Lord says tonight to someone in this room or someone that might be watching, it will be accounted to you just like it was unto Abraham's faith. I believe the Lord says tonight, I've got your back. I am your exceedingly great shield. I've got you. And you know what those questions, because don't we all have them tonight? Well, now what about this or what about that? Nothing wrong with asking that. God just responds and says, you know what? Instead of answering that, let me just show you. I'm the one who put all the stars in the sky. I'm the one who raised you up. I'm the one who put my favor and life in you. So are you going to believe the report of the Lord? Or are you going to get stuck looking at all the reasons why it will not? Just trust God and expect. Everybody say expect. Expect the vultures to fly in at times, but you just stay busy to run them off. And then God will give you a vision where he'll say, now I'm cutting covenant with you, and what you could not do for yourself, I will cause to happen in your life. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, can somebody say amen? So my faith, I feel like my faith is encouraged tonight just by seeing God work in my daughter's life. So the enemy is out there. Jesus did not deny that. He's saying there is a thief that wants to, right at the beginning of the fruit of the Spirit abounding in your life, he wants to get that key piece, joy. And then he wants to rob you of faith, which is vision, to believe that God's not only with you now, but he's in your tomorrow and the tomorrow after that. And then leave you empty so that when the vultures fly in, you don't have what you need in you to fight them off. And you can't get to the covenant piece. But tonight, he's come to give you life. And life super abundant, overflowing, more than just ordinary. It could feel a little uncomfortable, you know what, when someone starts to kind of pay that kind of attention to you, that they love you so much that they just kind of, have you ever had someone hug you and then hug you longer than you want to be hugged? How many know I'm talking about? You have somebody, you're done, but yet they're not. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, you're like, oh yes, and then you're ready to go and they're just still holding on, and you almost want to be like, now, this was a friendly hug. Now it's become a hostage takeover, right? And you almost have to say, let me go. But they're just letting you know how important you are to them. That's where God says, I've not only given you life, but where you want to kind of wiggle away and maybe get to the business of what I have for you. Let me hold on and squeeze a little bit tighter and tell you tonight that it's above and beyond anything that you could ask, think, or imagine. What's Victoria going to do? What does it ultimately look like? I don't know. But what God begins, God will give her what to do. And she called me right in the middle of church a moment ago, so maybe she's already got the answer from the Lord. I don't know. But God is good. Amen. Come on, can you give God praise? So here's the deal. Really, about a week ago, we didn't know what was going to happen or how it was going to take place. And tonight, Connor, my mother-in-law, and Gwenny's out there packing her up, and we'll be after church Sunday when I preach in the three services, go to the airport, and then we'll be driving back from Colorado with our daughter to see what God has opened. Come on, isn't God faithful? But it's been a journey. I ain't gonna lie to you. It's been a process. There's been some really dark nights, some bleak moments, some nights on the phone because she's being successful, but really tear-filled and kind of working through some stuff. But God is good. Amen. So with head bowed, eyes closed, Father, I thank you tonight, Lord, that I know you want to speak to me, but I think there's some others you want to speak to tonight. Lord, you didn't start us off and begin a good work in us in Philippians 1:6, as it says, just so we're aware of it, then you walk away. But Father, also, just when you were doing something great in the father of faith, preparing him to walk through about 20 or so years to really see the promise fulfilled of what you spoke in Genesis 15, that he had to fight off and fend off the vultures. But Lord, what you said, not only would it be, but it did. It happened. It was accomplished. So I just want to speak to someone tonight where maybe fear, that vulture has swoop down and set right down on that covenant promise. Worry, reasoning, just all the stuff that wants to surround and kind of cover. And I just want to tell you, listen, God is not, I don't know who it is, but God is not finished with you. He's not done with you. But you have to stir up the gift of God that is within you. And know, as the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, mount up with wings as eagles. You might have grown weary, but walk and not faint. Run, not grow weary. God is going to give you the strength to move forward. And I just want to speak, prophesy over someone tonight. God's covenant breakthrough is coming right around the corner. Don't worry about the situation. Just trust in your God. Don't be full of fear and dread. Just trust your God. God has got this. He is. He said, don't be afraid. I am your exceedingly great reward. I am your shield of faith. I have got you. Father, we declare that tonight. Or should I say, Lord, we receive that tonight. If that's you, if maybe you've had, it seems as if the vultures were circling, and at times they've kind of tried to land down on. But tonight, you know, through your word, through prayer, through praise, through just the Christian disciplines, you pursue God. You have to be faithful to move them away so that you can step into the next level of covenant. But you know, the enemy's tried to fight you. Tonight, with his bowed eyes closed, you say, Pastor, I need to hear this tonight to realize and understand. When God gave that great promise through Jesus about life and life more abundantly, he also said there'd be a thief that would want to steal, kill, and destroy. But no weapon formed against me, no attack of the enemy has the authority over me. I'm going to have to fight those vultures away. But I know I'm not just here just for life, but I'm here for super abundant, overflowing, above extraordinary life. That's what God has for me and my family. That's you right now with heads bowed, eyes closed. Let's raise your hand in this house if that's you. Yes, yes, yes. Father, I thank you tonight for those that are here not by accident but on purpose to be reminded of the promise and the blessing that you put in their life. Lord, let it be done for your glory. Father, we trust you. Lord, our steps are ordered of you. And Father, I thank you. I need to be reminded tonight, not because of something you're doing in my life, but someone close to me. Father, I thank you, Lord. You will do it. You will make it all work together for good. Father, we trust you in Jesus' mighty name. And the church said amen and amen. Church, just listen. Get ready. I don't know what it is. You might want to write it down tonight. Just something that's in your heart. Just write it down and don't let go of it. What is it? Well, you know that maybe if there's singleness in your life and you want to, you know that God's put in your heart to have something. Don't let go. Don't give up. God has somebody for you. Now, that doesn't mean you go looking at everybody that looks at you and thinks you're cute. Come on, somebody. You wait for God's right person. But don't let go of that promise. Amen. It could be financial freedom and coming up out of debt. Well, that doesn't mean that you go and charge everything on credit cards. You'd remain disciplined, do right things, work on your credit, do stuff like that. But hold on and believe that God is bringing you out. Whatever that it might be, you do the things you know to do and leave the rest up to God. All I know is that the Bible says for Lazarus to come out, only God could do that. But first he told them to do something, move the stone. Let's do what God says we can do, and then God will do the miracle that we cannot do for ourselves. Amen. Come on, if you believe that, can you give God praise tonight?